Noel Jordan, your party has a plan, Sinn Féin has a plan, but there seems to be question marks as to whether, you know, the banks will back it, whether it can actually even be funded. So to bring something so significant, you know, as part of a policy document, and there remains a great deal of uncertainty as to whether or not the banks might actually even be on board on that, that might give people pause to think, well, is it worth the risk of change?
No, look, the banks haven't said that anybody with a housing model is going to have to sit down with the banks. And of course, the banks want their money back. Of course that. And we are working with that sector. And I would put huge faith in our housing spokesperson, Nona Brin, and Piers Doherty, who's done Trojan work in this area. But could us just start about the housing crisis that we have? Because this is the number one issue that I have as a local councillor. Every day I get a phone call from somebody that is on, that we'll talk about social housing first, that's on the social housing waiting list. Others that are being evicted. And I think if we go back to when the eviction ban was lifted, we totally disagreed with that. It's put people in a very, very dark place at this present minute because we're running into Christmas. And I know there is a number of people in my municipal district that will be homeless before Christmas. Now, we had listened. We have listened, and these are the facts. We have listened to Darragh O'Brien as the minister, that 12 months ago, he was on a number of debates where he said that he was actually throwing local authorities under the bus by saying, we're providing the necessary funding, get up and get out there and get building. But that wasn't the case because we raised this. We raised this with housing officials. We raised it at every forum that we could and we were told that the funding wasn't there. We're only in a position now, believe it or not, we're in a position now that local authorities is going out to meet the need. They're going out seeking to buy, purchase land to build social housing.
It is that's kind of interesting because they were blamed for that, local authorities were. They've also been blamed for not applying for modular housing. We heard that from Minister Charlie McConnell yesterday, outgoing minister, which is quite interesting. And they were also blamed for money not going towards the Buncrana Leisure Centre. It was the council's fault that money went to Letterkenny. So there's an awful lot of, by various Fianna Fáil ministers, there's an awful lot being laid at the door of the council. Are you saying that's unfair?
It's totally unfair and okay. It's untrue.
I'll come back to you and bring you back in. The one thing I will say, if you don't mind, I find it amazing that the banks have been so transparent and to the fore on this issue, and we can't get a word from them in relation to defective concrete blocks and their responsibility into that. But in terms of this, they're able to almost poo-poo or question mark a housing policy, but they can't tell us what their responsibility is or what they will do for people affected by defective concrete. Claudia Kennedy, everyone's going to get on this as well, and we'll go to defective concrete as well. But Claudia, you know, I mean, you're promising more of the same. Well, why would we, the electorate, why would we go for more of the same? What's going to change? You had quite a number of years to do stuff. Some stuff is being done. But, you know, what is here to suggest that you're going to do anything differently or actually improve supply?
Again, this has been one of the key issues as I have been campaigning and canvassing in this general election. Since Fianna Fáil took government, the previous confidence and supply issue was there with Fine Gael. But since we've had Darragh O'Brien as a Minister for Housing, we've built over 125,000 new homes. And that is more than the last two governments combined. We need to do more.
So they're actually
absolutely
built or built building and commencement?
No, we've built 125,000 new homes. In terms of Donegal, 428 social homes have been delivered from 2020 to 2024, 306 through new builds, 51 through acquisitions and 71 through leasing. And social housing waiting lists in Donegal have gone up. We do recognise that by 9% from 2019 to 2023. So we do know work has to be done. However, we are putting investment in, and under the Land Development Agency, we will commit 7.5 billion annually to building social housing and also in empowering the Land Development Agency to create more homes across the board. And we put the Planning Act in place as well to make sure that people will be able to build on their own family land, particularly in rural Ireland. And also looking at putting in infrastructure. That's really important, Greg. That has come up as well as we've been campaigning and canvassing, that the road infrastructure is there, the ESB grid is there. So what we're looking at is huge investment, but capacity is also an issue. We have to be very aware of that. We know the Fiscal Advisory Council has said that we need up to 80,000 construction workers to meet those needs. So from a Fianna Fáil perspective, we're also looking at the education side of this in terms of apprenticeships and allowing them to earn more money while they're doing apprenticeships, to streamline applications for apprenticeships.
When is that going to happen? Because apprenticeships are giving up on the courses in their droves. And so and this is, again, under your party's watch. So why didn't you fix that for the last 4 years? Why is that a priority now?
Well, let's just put things again into reality. We did come through COVID, Brexit and a war in Ukraine, and that did have a huge impact in terms of supplies.
But I've been doing this quite a long time, and this is starting to feel like the same conversation, and it went on up until I think COVID came, that we came through a crash, we've came through austerity, we've rebuilt the economy. It sounds like this decade is going to be written off effectively because of COVID and the war in Ukraine. It wasn't us that decided to react to COVID the way the government did.
I don't think that. I think you need to look at what we are trying to do. We have to do more. This year, we will be on target to deliver roughly 33,000 houses. We did the same last year. Our aim is to build 60,000 houses a year under Fianna Fáil, to put 7.5 billion into the
There's not a single affordable house under construction in Donegal at the moment, not one single one. Well, I love that figure coming down from Dublin, 30, 40, 50. You could talk about 200 million.
Well,
the reality,
my listeners,
there's not a single affordable house.
Can we just look at in my own electoral area? We're currently looking at 24 new units in Convoy. We are looking at 20 new houses being opened this month in Gallows Lane and Lifford. We're looking at 19 new properties being finished in Trusgrove Ballybuffet. We have planned for 60 new houses in Lifford the Common. We've also planned 30 new houses in St.
Johnston. No Jordans on the council. You're shaking your head there, unless you're... Is there a draft or are you disagreeing?
You're right, you're correct. There's not one affordable home built in Donegal. But Claudia is saying what these houses that are on stream, there's about five phases to get them houses to construction. And this is the problem. There's a huge problem there, because once they can't sign off on them until they get the funding. And there's about five phases, and it takes too long.
And the elephant in the room is you've got very significant Donegal people, Donegal contractors, saying that they don't want to deal with the council, and they're actually going to go into Northern Ireland and invest and spend their money there because they're tete-a-teting with the council about development. So I'll come back to you, Kim McMenamin, who's been waiting patiently.
Just on Piers Doherty's policy when he launched his housing plan there on the 9th till noon show, he stated that there is no issue with building the huge number of houses they promised, as there's no shortage of builders. He stated that developers and contractors are laying off staff due to shortages of work. Then, the following week, it was officially announced that there is a shortage of 70,000 builders, okay, in Ireland, right? So, Piers either misled the listeners or is out of touch and incompetent, that he wasn't aware of the labour shortage when
You're not going to like the possible solution to that labour shortage, I can tell you that, Kim.
Under Sinn Féin's social housing plan, the government retains ownership of the site and services under the house. This is Sinn Féin now. The buyer can only sell the house to someone who qualifies for social housing and at a price decided by the government. Added to this, the Banking and Payments Federation of Ireland has not confirmed that banks will lend to potential buyers wishing to purchase houses.
So you think the Sinn Féin policy is full of holes, effectively? I mean,
the government owns the land and the services under the property. Mm-hmm. Like, there are legal precedents around
Before
this issue.
Before aiming in, I'll just respond from
Sinn Féin perspective. Let me just finish that wee part because it's important. Yep. I don't leave anything out. Specifically, where the water, sewage and electrical pipes and cables for a property cross the property of a third party before reaching the mains. In these instances, a way-leave agreement is required. This is a legal document that must be signed by the third party to state that they will never interfere with the services crossing their land. Yeah. And this is the most important point. There is no mention of any way-leave agreements in Sinn Féin's housing plan. Therefore, no guarantee that if a plan was introduced, that future governments wouldn't use this their ownership of the water, sewage and electrical services as a mechanism of control against people residing in their homes.
Okay,
that's way out of touch.
Could I just add, we're talking first of all about the shortage of skilled tradesmen and whatnot. I'll just give you an example of a site that is at construction now, and there's 48 houses being developed. This is social housing. The main contractor on that site there had contacted every representative in the Donegal Municipal District to get that up and going, because he had men ready to go, ready to build them houses, and they were stalled for about 8 months. And when we had went to the local authorities, to our housing officials, it was down to the department wouldn't sign off on it.
I would have my suspicions that whatever barrel the developers in Dublin have the government over, because they must have them over a barrel, because there's an awful lot of approved planning that they're not proceeding with, probably to see what they'll get. They won't be long finding those workers that they're saying aren't here. I would suspect, I'd have my suspicions, but I'm kind of cynical like that. Eamon McGee of the Irish Freedom Party, before we hear from Nuala Carr.
I hear. Listen to your programme all week about the housing. I'm just listening to wafflers, because they're actually waffling.
Agreed.
Bottom line is this, Greg. Under EU law, we're only allowed to spend 3% of our national debt, our national budget, on housing. We've heard these people today lying. For a start, oh, yes, we can. I'm going to just let me finish. Now, how much money can we take away from our social housing, our health, our education to build all this public land when we've only got 90 billion coming of taxpayers' money in our country? So these people here are nothing but wafflers. They can't deliver 50,000 houses a year.
So what you're saying that no party can commit to building 30, 40, 50 houses per year because EU rules won't
public
permit
money.
The private
sector can do it, but public money on the taxpayers' money, these boys have been waffling. We're only allowed a certain amount under a
I don't know if Thomas or Noel can dispute that.
That's a fact. So they're all been waffling week.
It's not
this
a statistic
facts.
I'm familiar with. Do you have any information on that, Thomas Pringle?
They're all wafflers.
We can all make up facts now as we want on the show here today. But it looks like
eight out of ten people would disagree with you on that. I'll come back to you in a second.
Nine out of ten might disagree with me.
Nuala. I just made that up. Nuala, go ahead. Sorry, please. Nuala Carr of the Green Party. Thanks for your patience, Nuala.
Yeah, well, I kind of have to tend to agree with Eamon that a lot of the systems that are in place at the moment in our economy are set up for private developers, and we're too focused on economic profits. And that if we looked at a better social model towards housing, community-led, I think we would come out with better results, and I think the system needs to be reformed, and the government has to lead that.
Claudia, did you want to come back in there? I'll come straight back to you.
Just in relation to the fiscal legislation, our government did go to Europe. This is why it took so long to put legislation in place for the Land Development Agency to actually work. And under the current legislation, that means that, yes, we can put 7.5 billion into the Land Development Agency. That's why we in Fianna Fáil want to keep it. Other parties may want to scrap it. That's the first thing. And then just in relation to Noel. So, Noel, are you disagreeing with the fact that 428 social homes were delivered in Donegal between 2020 and 2024? 306 through new builds, 51 through acquisition, 71 through leasing. And also that 375 social houses were refurbished under the Void programme from 2020 to 2023.
Right, no.
So there is small
amount of work being done.
Claudia, you just if you could clarify your question again to me, because you said they're on stream. You said there's a number of these on stream. They're not absolute figures. These are council. These are social housing, and they're only on stream. I'm just saying the time it's going to get to get construction on them sites. We're looking well into next year again.
Okay, Thomas, you want to come back in there?
Yeah, just in relation to Claudia and the Green Party as well, and in terms of their plans. I mean, it'd be great if they had been in government for the last number of years that they could actually put these plans in place. And you know, and there was a budget 2 weeks before this election was called, and none of these plans were put in place in the budget. Surely that's the time that these should have been done, rather than through an election campaign now that is there's going to be loads of promises made, and we'll see what's delivered afterwards. People could see that the budget was there. The government could have been doing these actions. They haven't been, and that's the reality.
Kim, you wanted to come back in there?
Yeah, just a solution, and it is a good solution. With the Irish people, our policy is it's called Right to Build Scheme, right? So increased planning exemption from 40 to 65 square metres for extensions and garden apartments. Right now you can build a shed in your garden at 25 square metres without planning, right? So if that was up to 65 square metres, that means a family could build a modular home, and some of them are just 90 grand, and it could, that needs to be incentivised by government as well, just to alleviate the pressure for now.
But Kim, I'll put this to you before. If four or five people built these around your house, right?
Height restrictions have to...
You would go beloopers.
Height restrictions have to be enforced. That's the only thing I would say. Look, I know it's a stick and plaster, but like, why are we all just moaning? We can't just keep moaning about things and facts and figures, or as Thomas says, everybody's kind of got their own facts and figures here. We need solutions, right? That would be a temporary stick and plaster solution, but why not allow people that opportunity?
Okay, Eamon McGee, you wanted to come back in there.
A wee question for Claudia. Claudia, on your figures, whatever, right, you're promising 7 billion to the people. Now, under EU law, we're only allowed 3%. But they do have a law saying that you can actually spend more, but another service will have to do without them billions of... Would that be correct?
This country is economically very well off. We have the Apple tax of 14 billion available for
housing.
We're
also in 225 billion debt.
Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael have managed this economy very well. We are currently have a lot of excess funds
just
available
question,
to spend
Claudia,
on housing.
I asked you, will the money have to come from another different service, from housing or from our hospitals? Because we only have a certain amount of money.
We have additional funds of 14 billion of Apple tax that we will be spending on housing and infrastructure.
Should Apple tax not be spent on the infrastructure? I hear even people working for Irish Water.
Well, I think
I don't know,
part of it is on infrastructure and housing. Yes. I do have to take a break. Kim, if you can be brief,
Apple
please.
You've been
in twice, three
this
times.
This has been bandied around like willy-nilly. Let's get the Apple tax. Look, the government were able to conjure up 60 billion to bail out private bondholders during the crash. We're still suffering from that
and
crash
none of
right now.
Going to say that
people are just
now,
making up money.
And none of you going to
money.
Say that the government is now planning to spend money it spent
Agreeing
years resisting. I mean, I'm not on
the money's
for
there,
election,
though. The money's
but he's
there.
No one going to say it. All right, I'm
going to
mess it. I'm being facetious. Okay, we'll be back with more. We'll be back for more of our... Thank God it's there now, anyway. We'll be back with more, because everyone's spending it after these. You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio as we continue our series of debates. Just to let you know that what I anticipate will be an interesting poll is going to be released by the Tyrconnell Tribune this evening and into tomorrow, dependent on when you pick up your paper. And John McAteer will be joining us after 9 tomorrow just to run through the figures. It'll be interesting to see. Well, firstly, polls are polls now, aren't they? There's a lot of distrust out there in polls, but it's a broad poll of actual people. Today with me, I've got Claudia Kennedy of Fianna Fáil, Thomas Pringle, Independent, Nuala Carr of the Greens, Kim McMenamin, Irish People's Party, National Alliance, Eamon McGee, Irish Freedom Party, and also Noel Jordan of Sinn Féin. And you know, it's interesting how the people of Donegal, how we are, and those listening outside of Donegal, in that yesterday we spoke extensively about defective concrete blocks, and there was a lot of messages saying, OK, can we move on? And today we just haven't got to that subject yet. We will now. And people are saying, this is the biggest issue in the county. Why aren't you leading with that? And it just goes to show that lots of different people are going to be motivated to vote in many different ways for many different reasons. Claudia Kennedy of Fianna Fáil, you're running for the party, right? So you pretty much stand by what the party stands for, I presume. Are you proud of what Fianna Fáil has done for the people affected by defective concrete in your county?
Well, just to say, firstly, that we have launched a $2.3 billion remediation scheme. It's the largest scheme internationally, and we already have 2,300 applicants already in the scheme. Now, currently, there is a grant, a maximum grant up to $462,000, and people can then apply for the FEI energy grant of $37,000. Now, we're very aware of the anger and frustration of where some cases have been downgraded just to remediation. That is something at the Donegal level, Minister McConlogue, myself and all of us have said we want that reviewed. If it is a full demolition, those people should have a full demolition on their houses. We're also not happy with the NSAI. They've been far too slow in undertaking their work and in fully allowing us then to implement the scheme. So we want that regulatory body to be resourced.
Are you proud of the scheme? Claudia.
I have met many people canvassing that are in the scheme who are happy with it, and I've met many more who are not happy with it. And it is consistently and currently under review. Let's not forget that when Fine Gael had been in power, very little had been done. This was with the Donegal minister at the cabinet table who fought for this funding. And we also must add that there is alternative accommodation and storage costs
available for 25,000. You had a go at Fine Gael there. What's the difference between the Fine Gael's 90-10 scheme, I suppose you could call it, and this scheme, which some say is actually less than 90-10?
This scheme is up and running currently. A number of houses are currently being rebuilt. We know that the maximum was up to 462,000 plus the 37,000 for the SEI grant. That's bringing you up to 499,000. But there are other issues that we need to look at as well. And this is something Fianna Fáil will be highlighting, the need for a building standards regulatory authority. We cannot
allow this
to happen
again. Thomas, did you
want to
come in on that? Just because, you know, it is a debate. And if there's something in particular that's...
Fianna Fáil abolished Building Standards Regulatory Authority in the 1980s and 90s, along with Fine Gael, and that's what caused this defective box problem in the first place, where manufacturers were required to self-certify that they were in compliance, and that's down to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and their policies in relation to this, and that's what has caused it. And Claudia, like, I mean, she toes the government line, she talks the government talk, like, and talking about a €2.3 billion scheme and stuff like that there. The reality is that it's nowhere near that, and it's, I think it's some about 100 million or something like that there now. At this
I think
stage.
It's in the 70s for next year, yeah. 70 something million.
Yeah, so basically, we're going to go a hell of a long way to get the 2.3 billion.
But Claudia, just to you know, and I'm just really conscious of the upset that there is out there. And when you talk about numbers and the positives, I get you, but we never seem to start talking about the older couples who are too old, and that can be actually 55, you know, I don't mean much other, who can't borrow, okay? The families who can't find the additional 30, 40,000 euro, they're trapped in this house. The people in semi-detached where they can proceed, the people next to them can't. Those in council houses who have nothing at this point, they've got absolutely... They're on the hind teat altogether, right? They're sitting there being told we'll put some sealer in the cracks and see if we can stop the drafts in the window. They are listening to figures being trotted out there. This scheme, according to former attorney generals, is designed actually to frustrate. People are being downgraded to discourage them from actually going on the scheme. So it really is extra hurtful, I think. And you have to back the scheme, I presume. It's very hurtful when... those people aren't referenced. This is about you've met some people that they're happy.
Again, I empathise with people in social housing that are not in the scheme, and the Act of 2022 should have been implemented by government before this election was called. That is very clear. And if Fianna Fáil is re-elected to government, we will put in the same scheme for those people to a cost that has been costed to 525 million. Absolutely, it is horrendous, Greg, that people have been downgraded from demolition to now remediation. We within Fianna Fáil will fight at a national level to represent those people to make sure that they have a voice heard.
Fianna Fáil introduced this scheme. You're the minister. You're responsible. Yeah, the minister is responsible for this scheme.
Okay.
He's responsible for it not working. You know, that's the reality. That's why we have to go back a third time.
Let's bring in some more voices. Councillor Noel Jordan.
Yeah, look, this government has failed them people miserably. This is the second scheme that is not fit for purpose. And people, you rightly said, 55 years, we're only talking around 55 years and over, they can't access the scheme, they can't get the, they can't borrow. And it's an absolute disgrace that we're still sitting here talking about a scheme. And Claudia's saying, and she's towing the party line by saying that we have made a clear commitment in our document to say that we will give 100% redress. And we've an end-to-end scheme. We've gave it, it's fully costed. We've put it out there, and people, we are hoping that people will back us on this, and we have give a clear commitment that we'll cover for residential properties, including surround walls and garages, and the commitment also extends to holiday homes, and we will remove the existing financial clawback for landlords who own three or less properties. And We've made that commitment. We've seen two schemes as put in place, the 90-10 one, Fingal, Fianna Fáil, have come up with this, that's not working for people. But we've a commitment there that we will follow.
Are you disappointed that if this was such a serious issue that at some point, Mary Lou McDonald might have brought it up at a national level over the course of this election, if it was as serious as your party's taken it?
Well, look, at the issues on... I take it you're talking about the debate this night.
Our interview aired, this morning. Of course. There's no end of them.
But Mary Lou McDonald has come to the county here. She's just gone to the counties that were most affected by the defective block crisis.
OK.
And give that commitment. And we'll stand by that commitment.
All right.
If in government.
Nuala Carr, come on in there, you, please.
Yes, thanks, Greg. We just need 100% redress for residential families, and not just residential families.
I'm not putting you on the spot. Is there a green policy in relation to this? I probably should have checked this out.
Yeah, and I'm not in favour of it. But that's why we need a Donegal Green Party representative to fight for a better representation for families affected by MICA. As well as small businesses and charities. I spoke to the Letterkenny Community Childcare recently, where the building only has about 18 months before it's not fit for purpose. And that's going to affect about 150 families in Letterkenny, as well as the staff. There's also childcare facilities, I think, in Raphoe and Ardra affected by the MICA. And lots more small businesses, so it's just a huge problem that has to be addressed and has to be.
Kim McManaman.
Yeah, Greg, I watched the debate the other day with the big debate about the defective blocks. Like, they all talked about what they should have done, what they could have done, what they will do, but nothing got done. That's the bottom line. So homeowners are still, after 14 years, being messed about with a half-baked scheme. Okay, so it's going to cause more problems further down the line. So the people who did nothing, they do not deserve to get back in. You've got to vote them out, people. So the other question I have here is, Charlie voted with his party, not his people, right? That was like a big letdown for him and his own. Terrible. Search of remediation, they can't sell their houses and they cannot get insurance. Now, Charlie couldn't even get Buncrana swimming pool when it was all set to go. He said he had the ball in his hand and it was just to kick it over the line, but he actually dropped the ball. So how can he sort out homeowners when he can't even sort out something simple like that? Now, during the meeting, he had his head down on his phone and did not even listen to the other speakers. I think it's terrible that a TD would behave like that.
I missed that last thing. What did you say?
I think he had his head down on
phone.
Charlie McConnell.
Yesterday? Somewhere else?
The swimming pool meeting in Buncrana.
All right, okay, I wasn't there, Kim. I take your point.
Yeah, when
you
supposed
know
to, like, you
he's
know, deliver
to
that,
himself,
and
I
again,
yeah.
He failed.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to come in there, Eamon? Eamon McGee?
Thanks very much. Listen, I'm a defective homeowner myself. I know the stress and the anxiety that this is for every family in Donegal having to go through this. I don't have the money to rebuild my house. I have joined the Justice for Donegal group. 16 homeowners are going to take a judicial review on it. Every single one of our TDs could have done this for every single homeowner, but they choose not to. If me or Charlie are lucky enough to get into the Dáil, we might have an opportunity to take this judicial review out on behalf of the homeowners. And if this is not possible, we all here need to support this. There will be fundraising for it, and every homeowner needs to support this group, because this is the only way we're going to get a redress. We hear Sinn Féin saying they're going to give people 100% redress, but we see the polls that Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael could lead the next government, so everybody has to compromise.
Can I ask you what the Irish Freedom Party's commitment is in relation to defective concrete block homeowners?
As a defective block owner, right.
No, the party. You're running
for a party.
What's their...
supports having to take a legal case out against the government. We are not in power, so we don't have a say.
No, but say in power. What is your party promising the people of... of your affected homeowners? I'm sure it's come up at a conversation. What are you promising or committing to?
As a party...
It's not in your manifesto, is it?
It's not. That's correct. Yeah. But we do support the justice for
I know,
Donegal.
But if the but party was serious about saying, the issue through you, it surely would at least be a line in the manifesto. It's not in there at all.
We have to look at our books, right? And we have to look at the books and how much money our government has got coming in. Before anyone can make a decision, we're only spending, is it £70 million this year on defective homes. This could take 100 years to build people's houses. We have to make sure to go through the courts, because my AS 465 is not the right engineering solution. Yeah. We want the same solution that Dublin got, 100% redress and be looked after as same as all our Irish citizens.
Would you hope that
this is
will...
simple, that our party support.
Would you hope that your party does actually formulate a policy
this,
on this issue?
Because it's the right thing to do.
Thomas
Irish
indicated
citizens.
First, Kim. Go ahead, Thomas.
Yeah, I think we need to look at solutions as well for the defective blocks. And I think the people's document that was launched by the defective block campaigners a number of months ago provides that solution, and provides a solution right across the board for homeowners, for the public buildings like childcare facilities and stuff like that there as well. But very importantly as well too, it also outlines how steps can be taken to make sure that this never happens again. Because at this point in time, we're in a situation in Ireland where this can still go on and can still continue on because of government inaction, and that is the problem. So I think the people's document provides that solution, and people should be endorsing the people's document, and that will be something that I'll be putting forward in terms of government formation after this election, if I'm lucky enough to be re-elected.
To the point whereby you would join a coalition, you'd coalesce with a group and committed to
I think it's one of my red line issues would be the people's document and that defective blocks would be once and for all looked after and dealt with, and I think that's vitally important.
King McMenamin.
Yeah, I spoke to a lady on the doors who was getting out early for remediation, right? So she's going to be about 30,000-40,000 because she wants the fines done. So, like, people are scared into the scheme because they want security, they want a roof over their head that's secure for their children. So they're being forced into this scheme. And I've spoken to a few other people on the doors who their house, they've sealed the house up really, really well, you know, used really good like waterproof paint and stuff, and it's been held together, and they're saying they're going to hold out for the judicial review because once...
Well, they'll have to,
that, they
because if they've done that, they can't get on the scheme because they won't pass the visual inspection.
That's even more terrible.
Because if they can't see a 1 millimetre crack, you're not on the scheme.
There's too much regulation, like... There's too many rules, but
they're
going
to have to wait till the house cracks again, which is crazy.
Why can the parties not get together, a cross-party consensus, right, and just pay out the billions needed instead of using it as a political football? Look, they had 14 years to do it, still not sorted out. They're too busy infighting and saying, my scheme's better than your scheme, this law, that regulation. Waffle is all we're hearing. No solutions.
Just come back in there. Before the break.
Just in relation to that issue of cross-party support, Sinn Féin refused to reply to written consultation requests for the scheme from government. They refused to publish an alternative legislation despite promising to do so. They refused to publish alternative guidelines despite promises to do so. And Noel, I would ask, does your party endorse the people's document? On MICA.
Yeah, we do.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
But hold on.
But hold
on.
I'm saying, no.
Yeah, parts
we didn't
of it, but you don't.
No, yeah. Good. We didn't endorse it fully, but we were putting a scheme together, which is our document, and We're hoping that people will get behind this.
But can I just say, Claudia, if some people listening would think it's, you know, it's you know, you landed on him there, right? Okay, but you're sitting representing a party that doesn't endorse any part of it at all.
But sorry, we have put a scheme in place for $2.3 billion.
But sure,
you're,
doesn't
but
work.
You're saying, Claudia, no, if
work.
I could answer,
he's had. Look,
let councillor. Sorry, councillor, let Claudia respond, and then I'll let you back in. Go ahead, Claudia.
What's really important to note is you are saying that you're going to put a scheme in place, and yet when there was public meetings around Inishowen, Sinn Féin stood up and said, no, we will not endorse the people's document. You did not give us written submissions on the scheme. Our scheme is in place.
Specific,
it is there for people to see.
Claudia, that's
a specific large
point.
Number of people there that night. Okay, we didn't fully endorse the document. We didn't fully endorse the document. But people went out of that room that night knowing that Sinn Féin would have their backs in this, and the scheme that they've put together. I'm sure nobody else has put a document together like that there,
okay.
So that
we'll
provide.
Well,
yeah,
you got
endorse it. That's the question. Why? That's a good
question.
Well,
I know the answer to that. It's because they were liaising
Claudia,
I just want to put it to you, and you can consider that if you wish. I just want to put it to you that, you know, like, if I were a member of Fianna Fáil or supporting Fianna Fáil, like, at the end of the day, the logic thing here is there's a lot of houses that are falling down, right? It's because of the lack of oversight by government, right? They all eventually going to have to be rebuilt. It's a multi-year thing. So you don't have to spend $10 billion next year, right? It's going to be over years. There's huge clawbacks. The VAT, crazy that the VAT on these materials, 13.5%. You're creating employment. Those people are earning, they're paying wages. You know, there's so much clawback on this money. The simplest thing to do, to be fair, is to end-to-end rebuild everyone's houses. Because, as I say, it creates, it's good for the economy, it's good for everything, right? These are people that are innocent victims. I would find it very difficult to sort of stand over anything other than that because it's so simple. Yet we have the Attorney General, former Attorney General, trying to frustrate the scheme. We don't want it to work very well. They say they didn't take the advice, all right? But the obvious logical thing to do is just fix the bloody houses because there's so many benefits from it.
I would agree. And that's why the likes of myself, the policy is in place. It can be improved. That's why you need Donegal TDs at that cabinet table to work on it, to listen to people, to improve. I'm not there. I'm answering, if I could answer, to work on the scheme, to improve the scheme, to be honest in what we can do. Absolutely, I agree with you, Greg. That's why I'm involved in politics, to help people, to listen to people. But you have to be at a cabinet table in government to do so. And if we are in the next government...
Fianna Fáil sat around this table defending what's there, but at the same time, you need to do more, and it's not fair. It's I suppose that's party politics, and that's fine. I'm not, you know, if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. But it's just
a number of our councillors, for example, are living in MICA houses. They have had meetings with the Department of Finance, with the Minister of Housing, with Minister McConlogue. There is a huge team effort within our party to fight for Donegal at a national level. This is happening consistently, Greg. We are at the table, we are battling, and we are fighting
for
Donegal people.
Is that not an admission of weakness? Because whoever was battling for the people down in Dublin on the Pyrite scheme, they got a fully managed end-to-end scheme. If you're that, then it says one of two things. A, is they're not great fighters, which I'm not suggesting. Or B, they don't really listen to you anyway, even if you're fantastic fighters, because there's a perfect example down the country of where whoever was campaigning for them got exactly what the people of Donegal and the west coast of Ireland deserve.
We want to help people. We want to be at the decision-making table. And the scheme that is there is something to work on and to improve. And perhaps that scheme would not have even been there had we not had a Donegal minister, Charlie McConlogue, in government. It can be improved on.
But I don't think it'd be there if 30,000 people didn't march around Dublin. I think it's the people that got that scheme with the assistance.
Everyone.
All right, Kim, that's his opinion. We'll be back with more after we take a break. Stay where you are. Okay, listen, thank you so much. We certainly have close on to 2,300 comments over the last 3 days. There's been a huge level of engagement in this process, and we genuinely appreciate it. All of them are read, but we can't read them all out because then there'll be no time for, I think Kim described it as waffle. I'm sure it's more significant than that. There's a massive issue in this county as to how we look after our children. In terms of CDNC services, CAM services, the waiting list for CAMs, 118 young kids effectively who could potentially, their situation could be worsening. The staffing in CDNT is improving, but there still are issues there. I'm thinking also respite and Carndon. It's been gone for 4 years. So it's putting a great deal of pressure on families and on young people as well. I don't think I've started with you yet, Noel Jordan of Sinn Féin. I presume you recognise the issues. I presume you get representations. Why are we failing our young people and their families so badly?
Because it's, again, this bad mismanagement. And I would say there is 118 children waiting on the mental health list now at the present minute. That's actually worse since... things have got worse since 2020 under this government. There's a huge underspend in Letterkenny University Hospital, which took... much so to the fact that 81... between surgeons, doctors, nurses come out and voice this to the government, a huge under... And when you talk about respite, out of 8 out of 9 community hospitals we have at the minute is understaffed and they don't get that respite. Killybegs Hospital, community hospital at the present minute, 2 days of respite out of the 5 days. Things have got worse under this government. They need to be a huge investment put in.
Are there any clear proposals from Sinn Féin to address these issues? Yeah, and some of them are uniquely geographical to us here in the Northwest. Not all, but some are.
Yeah, no, of course we understand where geographically where we sit. But to take pressure off hospitals, we talked about the investment we would put in Letterkenny University Hospital. By doing that, we would be relieving the likes of Sligo General Hospital. So, yeah, there's certainly a need for further investment in our health system.
In the health service here. Eamon McGee, do you want to come in there?
Well, mine would be just a wee short one on this. And look, the problems that the country's facing with the young people and all the different services that people are being failed by the government. We're pumping far too much money into IPASS, which is over 2 billion a year. We've seen the 16 million for the scoliosis children not being used for the children suffering in pain. Look, we're pumping too much money into IPASS. This also creeps into your social welfare. It also creeps into every part of society, every part of our budget. And this is the problem with the government are doing. They're cutting all the different services.
So just to be clear, you are saying that money that is being taken from CALMS, CDNT services, respite services and the health service, you're saying that's being taken from those budgets
at this present
and
time,
being redirected to IPASS.
At this present time,
well, that's demonstrably not true. I'm not a fan of the government. I'm not a fan of the opposition. Right. I'm not a fan of independence.
We only have a certain amount of money.
I'm not cheerleading for them.
We only have a certain amount of money, right? Or, taxpayers' money. And we have a list. We're spending 88.9 billion on all our services.
Yeah.
Now, where's the rest of the money going to come from? We're talking about redress and we're talking about building a bigger hospital and more funding.
I get you.
You know,
okay.
Let's be fair. Greg.
Okay, you said you would be brief. And when it says I'm not a fan of, I meant I'm not cheerleading for.
I would be wondering how much money actually we'll be spending on international protection applicants, getting their free houses, their freebies,
I'll bring
their college places
here.
For free.
Did I start with you? I did. No, I started with, you're not in government and I don't think you've any support for them, but... So just to what Eamon said, are these services underfunded because the money's been spent on IPASS centres?
I don't think that even deserves an answer because it's blatantly not true.
Okay, well then move on to your own point
The reality is that the services aren't being done because the government will not employ people. And that's the reality of it. And they see, you get capital funding for a building because once the building's built, that's the end of the funding. And happy days, the government goes away and gets a photo op on the opening of it. But if you employ people, you have to commit to actual funding for an ongoing basis for those staff. And that's the problem. That's the problem that is with it. And they are not recruiting the staff. That's the reality of the situation to actually get to provide the services.
There have been inroads in CDNT in terms of staffing, though. Just
there's been some improvement.
There's
huge difficulty in actually getting the staff recruited to actually fill the services as they're required. So not all CDMT teams are actually fully staffed,
no.
And that's the problem.
No, there's gaps
and that's why we can't deliver the services. And it's vitally important because children, if you can deliver the services to children at the appropriate age, you'll actually save money in the long run, because then people won't be costing the services ongoing right through the rest of their lives. And so we need to put that service and get those services up and running. And so we need to look and speed up recruitment. And sure, we have a problem in Donegal where the recruitment is done on a national basis within the HSE, and thankfully the HSE locally are willing to actually go outside that service to actually try and get the people, yep, to ensure that they can be got here. And that's what we need to do to make sure that the services are provided. And we need a commitment, ongoing commitment, that staff, when you put the staff up in place, that they'll be maintained and kept going.
Yeah,
and that's
Claudia Kennedy, this is an interest of yours, as it is for everyone around this table. You know, what can be done differently going forward to address some of these situations?
Yes, well, just to say that Fianna Fáil have committed 150 million annually to CAMHS teams, along with 110 million for community-based mental health organisations. But moving forward, Greg, just to answer your question,
and I'm sorry to if you come across as argumentative, but if that money is being spent and there's still 118 children who are awaiting their first assessment, does that not, at the best case scenario, talk to a mismanagement of funding?
It's down to recruitment of staff. We've just spoken about it. And we want to continue to resource those CAMHS teams to reduce those waiting lists, and of course to employ and recruit more staff, both nationally and internationally, and also to retain the staff working in the mental health services by providing access to training and supporting career progression, and also to expand the number of funded places in clinical psychology doctor training places. And we want to extend the funding of the HSE Assistant Psychologist Pilot Programme. In terms of CAMHS, we want to continue to resource it with funding, but we also want to enhance youth mental health services for those up to the age of 25, and really focusing on a smoother transition for young people from CAMHS into the adult service. And we also want to increase staffing for under 18s suffering from mental health problems for dual diagnosis services with better treatment for them.
But that all sounds good. Sounds fantastic. How does that address the waiting lists in Donegal?
So again, if I come back to what we're looking around, retaining staff, recruiting staff, training staff,
having somewhere to sit. There is no CDNT centre for staff in East Donegal. They've got no base.
Yeah, and again, this is something that we have discussed at a government level. We want to develop a new care model for the HSE, primary care psychology, to expedite these services, to make sure that young people can access these services in a more timely manner. And to actually, it's really important to say, Greg,
yes, go ahead,
to expand the Recovery Colleges initiative that we've had nationwide.
Okay.
That's to empower young people and educate young people
about
their mental health and well-being.
Last two comments to Kim and Nuala. In the last, we have a minute and a half each. Kim, did you want to go first?
Yeah, I agree with Eamon. I think 5 million a day spent on iPass is ridiculous. 2 million per year. That money could be redirected somewhere else. We've got to close the borders, try and fix our own problem first at home.
Kim, do you not think it's a little bit disrespectful to the families that those are affected by this crisis that it's just another opportunity to talk about immigration again?
Well, if it's a fact,
because they'll want you to go up to Dublin, right? And you wouldn't be expected to go into the Dáil and say, "I pass."
Close
centers.
The borders. Absolutely. Okay. Until we fix our own problems, now there's another issue here.
Very briefly, go ahead.
Thomas said that they're understaffed, and they won't employ. And the same question to the Fianna Fáil lady
Claudia.
Why will they not employ? Like, that's the question. Why is there no will to employ? Is there money to employ? You're saying you just made a statement.
Well, the vacancies are there. The vacancy is there versus the CDNT. They have increased the employment, and they've actually put incentives in, got rid of panels and stuff.
I've got a solution. It's got to be put out there. We can have health vans going round towns for breast checks and all the rest of it. Why don't we implement a scheme where we can get, like, people are suffering from mental health.
Okay.
They need people. If they can't get into the hospital, why don't
Kim,
they bring,
I'll come back,
why don't they bring the health
Nuala,
fans
please,
to
sorry.
The people?
Kim, just
it's, a good, if, it's a good idea.
No, I'm not, it's time, not my opinion that's interfering with you. Go ahead.
Thanks, Greg. The mental health services need to be staffed and resourced according to national models of care, and we need to look at the waiting lists. they're just going out of control, and quality of services. But as a society, I think we need to address the causes of the rising levels of mental health. It's just, you know, community services need to be better resourced. People with mental health challenges, disabilities, and those who are affected by autism, ADHD, the services just aren't there.
Okay. Listen, thank you so much, Nuala, for your time. Nuala Carr, thank you, Noel Jordan, Eamon McGee, Kim McMenamin, Thomas Pringle, Claudia Kennedy, all of you. Thank you so very much indeed. Very informative, and hopefully for the listener as well.